Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Welcome. I am talking with Trent Wagler, who's a prevention educator at the Collins Center in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'm glad to have you with us today, Trent.
Thank you so much, David. I'm glad to be here.
And Trent works coordinating the Student Connections Clubs that was highlighted in the article, Sexual Violence Prevention. So Trent, can you describe what the Student Connections Club is?
Student Connections Club is, at its core, is a peer education club and a peer educator group made up of, usually we tend to have 10th through 12th graders who are trained. We do a training every year to deliver messages that are consistent with our sexual violence prevention messages and our goals that we have. We do our best to empower the club to have a lot of ownership and to some degree mold the messages once they've been trained around what they see to be the issues in the school. I think that's pretty consistent with a lot of peer education groups. But then their job, so to speak, and what the club's work is finding ways to spread those messages throughout the school, whether it be in classroom presentations or in week-long awareness campaigns or obviously within a peer education philosophy. We hope that there's also a one-on-one informal dissemination of information that also occurs whenever it's appropriate. These clubs have also done some fun things around media. They've created a couple short films and videos over the years. They've taken part in a couple plays that have issues at its core, whether it be around harassment or sexual assault or dating violence, something around the issues that we're working on. What's nice about the club is that it is an official school-sponsored club. So we actually have time in the school that's allotted towards this club, much like any school-sponsored club, whether it's Students Against Drunk Driving or a marketing club or student government or something like that. We have certain days in the school calendar that we're allowed to be meeting on school grounds, and so that gives us a certain amount of legitimacy, and also it kind of builds in an attendance to the club. Anybody who knows working with teens can sometimes be difficult if you're trying to work outside of the school calendar and day. It's kids get very busy, and so it's nice to have that official sort of stamp of approval. Those are the basic activities that the club runs at this point.
Well, it's great, because what's wonderful about the Student Connections Club is how you're looking at your sexual violence prevention work and how it goes beyond just having adults coming in to do classroom presentations, but you're really strengthening it by bringing in all these other activities that are youth-developed, youth-generated, and youth-implemented.
I think we've seen a difference in how it's received in the school at large. I mean, not only do I think our messages end up being more effective to really grab students' attention and grab students' ears when it is developed by other students, but we also run less risk, usually, of being outdated or doing something that's particularly, I don't know, I sometimes feel like as an adult going into a high school that I just have old person stamped all over myself, and as current as I might try to be, it just doesn't work. And so having the teens help me in developing a message that we might really want to push is just helpful in terms of the effectiveness, because the walls will go up so quickly, it seems like an adult is just trying to tell kids how it is, you know. And so it's nice when the students really own it, and the students get the messages. And by get, I mean they really own the messages, they understand it, and they believe in what we're trying to teach. And then it becomes their message, and they find ways in their own words to communicate that. The other, I think, thing that we've run into being in Virginia at times, and I think people across, I'm sure, in different sorts of communities could relate to this, is our issues are not always easy and palatable for administrators. And not always easy and palatable for parents, and it's at times I think sexual assault centers are sort of pegged as being politically in some certain place. And if in Virginia at times we feel like we're already pegged as being so out there and progressive or whatever, we're shut off very quickly. Another way that I think getting teens more involved in being the actual vehicles for the message is that they're the ones standing up in classrooms and saying certain things. Most of the times, the response to that I've seen other adults, whether it be administrators or parents or what have you, they're just excited that these kids are taking any interest whatsoever. And so even if the messages aren't things they would accept from us being outsiders or accept a teacher saying in the classroom, if a student stands up and starts to talk about victims' rights or talk about not victim blaming or talks about how if we're really going to do true prevention, we need to start talking to guys and the culture around sex and sexuality that is taught to boys, it seems to have a different response even from adults. It's also exciting.
You know, I've been involved in peer education for many years. But what's important about being able to do effective prevention work is that it's not just about getting information out there. It's not just about knowledge. But it's really about how do we change the social norm. And until we get young people actually being active in this work, then we're not going to get very far. And that's really hard to make those changes if they're just being the recipients of our education. But if we can also have a way that they are being part of that and helping shape the community, as it sounds like, it's really shaping what goes on in that school, which sounds like a lot of what you've seen. Do you have any wonderful success stories you could share?
What you're saying there, it really reminds me that I think I've had to change my focus as the educator in even what our goals are, because I think our teams do a good job of embodying the messages and then relaying them. Sometimes it's hard as the adult educator to stand in the room and see teens really struggling or not always being the best just communicators, you know, because they still have some maturing to do perhaps. And so it's hard sometimes. You have to sort of bite your tongue and let them have the reins. But there are times where you think, man, you know, this presentation that these peer educators just presented, it was definitely nothing was, no harm was done, but boy, they could have done this different, they could have done this different. It's easy to be a critic of it. But I think I've reoriented myself in terms of my goals. In the end, yes, the messages that are sprinkled throughout the school or throughout the schools that we do presentations in with the peer educators, that's important. But I think the bigger success we have is with this small pool of peer educators. The bigger success is really having a huge impact on them and seeing them embody these messages and knowing, feeling fairly confident that these are teens that are going to move forward from their high school experience. And this is not just another club for them. It's something that has really impacted them in the way they view the whole realm of sexuality and how I would hope they also carry out their relationships. So I just finished the first of 2 days of training that we'll do with one of the two clubs that we have this year. I was working with some of the students were repeat students that were there the year before. And to me, one of the biggest success stories was being in this training, and so some of these students had, this is the second year they've had the exact same training. I just remember there were a couple girls who were in this group as sophomores, and here they are coming back as juniors. And when they came in as sophomores, I have to admit that when they first started responding to some of the activities we were doing and taking part in the training, I just thought, I don't know if they're ever going to be at the place where they're, you know, maybe they're going to get these messages, but I can't see them getting to the place where they're going to be able to turn around and really relay these messages to someone else effectively, either because of their communication skills or because it just didn't seem like it was sinking in for them. So then a year's gone by, they took part in the awareness weeks, they did help out, mostly behind the scenes, not being up in front doing the presentations as much. And here they were, with just 1 year later, doing the exact same training, and they were taking words right out of my mouth. I mean, I was amazed. We're talking about some of the issues, and they were explaining very complex issues about sexuality and sexual violence, and some of these younger students who were hearing this for the first time were just getting these messages that I think, you know, come directly out of the trainings we want to be doing and we are doing at our own hotline training at our sexual assault center. And so to me, that's the success, is seeing these students emerge, see them mature as people, as human beings, but also see them really becoming educators and see them really owning it. They've got one more year in our club, and they're going to be running that training next year. And so to me, that's the effectiveness that I see. And within that same group, I saw this year really taking some time within the training. I don't encourage students to necessarily disclose or talk within the training about any issues they've had, but there was more, I think, this year from the same small group of girls. There was more of an introspection about their own relationships and where and how some of these issues are really tying into what either they're seeing in their friend group with certain dating relationships or their own relationships, and talking about consent and really getting honest about where they are and where they want to be and sometimes the disparity there. So to me, that's the success story, is this small group of 10 to 20 students. And the hope, I guess, is that ripple effect is going to be so much larger because they've really been changed by what we're doing.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.